Where do you live?
Mumming Hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of Slug. Mumming Hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of Slug. Mumming Hand.
Where do you live?
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of It's Time to Rewind, the podcast trapped in its own time loop right along with the movies we discuss. This season is a serial bomb, yo, and we're looking at Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, starting off with Buffy Season 6, Episode 5, Life Serial. Today we're discussing the 8th loop, starting at 26 minutes and 13 seconds with the doorbell ringing, and ending at 26 minutes and 15 seconds with the male customer getting a slug candle in the gut. Joining me once again is Turney Steele from the Apocalypse Now Minutes. How are you doing today?
I'm so sorry to laugh, but when you gave those timestamps, I was just like, yep.
Yes, this, in case you can't do math off the top of your head, this is the shortest of all the loops in this entire episode. I think there's another similar short loop in the Angel episode. Coming in at a brisk 2 seconds.
All you need to know.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the way it hits him in the gut is kind of foreshadowing for the end of this episode with the showdown.
Huh. It with the could demon. Be. It's been
kind of like gut punches him.
It's been so long since I've watched the entire episodes. I forget what happens at the end.
You're in your own time loop, and that is fine.
Like I know the kitten poker and Buffy getting drunk, but I don't remember any other specifics.
That scene was so much better than I even remembered, by the way.
But yeah, this one, something that I only just noticed today rewatching this, but Buffy's reaction at hearing the doorbell is actually a reused reaction from the previous one, because if you look closely, you can see that Giles is not holding his glasses, and Buffy's flip turn is the exact same flip turn after, like, as she had just finished stomping on the glasses.
Wow. I never noticed that. And now, like, scrubbing through, of course. Scrubbing through. It's 2 seconds. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The whole back into the left thing. Wow.
And, like, with her hair kind of messed up, flipping over her eye a little bit.
Yeah. And, hey, shout out to editors. Oh, my God, the unsung heroes of the world. I mentioned I did a podcast on American Graffiti. I've talked about Star Wars. Like, these are Marshall Lucas has saved these movies in the editing room. And then I'm doing a podcast on Apocalypse Now, which obviously has a lot to talk about with editing. So, yeah, it's funny that this is kind of, I mean, you'd think like, oh, Apocalypse Now and these 2 seconds of Buffy, what could they possibly have in common? Well, they could have in common our heroes, the editors.
Yeah, and once again, we get this hostility towards this male customer. So what is it about this guy that's causing this Buffy anger? Like, I have my own theory, but I want to hear your thoughts the first.
Is it just that he's in the way? Like, like when you're playing a video game and you keep dying at the big boss, so by the time you have to do that opening fight, like, for the 57th time, you're just like, ah! Left, right, down, okay, done, you're dead, fine, done. You know, like, I pictured it as that. Not, like, a specific hostility towards him, but a just, like, I know you're not the big bad here, and I need to just be done with you. I have no time for you. I must get to this woman.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it and, you know, way more deeper than I should, but I mean, we only have 2 seconds to talk about, so this entire podcast is about looking at things more deeply than you should. But I feel like there might be a little bit of latent resentment because of the fact that he is clearly in a relationship. And that reminds Buffy of her own awkward relationship with Spike, which I don't even remember if it's really started at this point. I think it's still a couple episodes later before they start having sex, but there is
there is still the tension. Relationship yet, but there's definitely tension, and later this episode when they're drinking together, it is obvious. But she also just got back from LA from seeing Angel, so I like that, cuz that makes a lot of sense that so he's in a relationship, at least to the point where he's like, I got to make a good impression. You know, she's coming over. I got to have a nice smelling candle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That implies a stability to his life that I'm sure he wouldn't think feels very stable. He's got to impress this girl, whatever. But to Buffy would just be like, oh, my God, if only that could be my problem. You know, this whole episode is her wishing that she had that stable surface, that security underneath her that she could then build her life off of. And you know, as she says at several points, I think more poignantly after this, obviously, but like that she feels like she's messing it up. Like, too dumb to do this, too strong to do this. It actually brings me to one of the things that I wrote down and I didn't know where to put it, but I will definitely put it here, which is, Huffering the Vampire Slayer, I mentioned I have some of their merch. One of the merches that I do not have, but I probably should get, is a bumper sticker that says, Pay Buffy Summers, You Cowards. Because Buffy Summers is the Vampire Slayer. That is her job. It precludes her from holding other jobs. And the fact that Giles is paid as a watcher, but Buffy is not paid as the Slayer is just wrong. And so pay Buffy Summers, You Cowards. And a shout out also to Sox Addict and Surviving Grady, which are people I follow on Twitter. I'm a Red Sox fan, and they sell t-shirts that say, Pay Raffy, you freaking dopes. And shout out to the Henry family, or I guess it'd be the Fenway group. You let Mookie go to LA, and we're all still very angry about that, but we will be less angry if you pay Xander Bogaerts and Raphael Devers money and keep them. Please and thank you. I just thought it was funny that they both had the same rhythm. Like, that is the rhythm of the sarcastic, like, just pay these people already.
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode is like the prime example of like, why does Buffy get no compensation as the Slayer?
Yeah, and Giles is in a position to, you know, spoilers, pay her $10,000.
Yeah.
And treats it, you know, it's not exactly like it's nothing, but he's not going to miss that $10,000.
No. That was a really cute moment where he's like, oh, she's like, oh no, I was just being polite. I'm just being funny.
One other editing thing that I noticed is I keep, you know, pushing the slider back and forth on this 2 seconds and watching the guy get the candle in the stomach over and over again, which is always, you know, the best thing to do with these montage moments. Mm-hmm. But Giles is standing in the background looking at a book in the bookcase, okay, kind of blurry. And so it cuts from him being standing next to Buffy to being all the on the other side of the store.
Okay. Well, sometimes our heroes let us down. Like letting Mookie go to LA. Anyway.
But I did have some other characters that I wanted to talk about. And, you know, since I brought up the relationship between Buffy and Spike, I think it's a good spot to talk about Buffy and Spike as a whole, like specifically this season, but you know, you can talk about them throughout the entire show. I know Buffy is herself is kind of a big topic, but I know especially in this season 6, again, I feel like it has this kind of millennial sense of like not knowing what to do after you finish, or in Buffy's case, drop out of college.
Yeah, I think And the fact that, like, so she dropped out of college for
Oh, well, she
totally
died.
reasonable reasons. I think it was in the last episode when they confront about the bills and like, oh, the hospital bills took all the money. Like, that is, haha, welcome to our generation. Yay. It's funny. Season six is like a bummer of a season. And it has some of the funniest moments and some of the, I think, best episodes. And I mean, for God's sakes, this is the episode that gave us Kit and Poker. But it is a downer because it gets a little too real sometimes. But I think that's good. I think that made it a better show. I think if it was all just the light, funny stuff, we would not still be sitting here talking about it in like 2022.
Yeah, I think it really transitioned to being like a high schooler dealing with fantasy metaphors of puberty and high school problems to a mix of real life problems mixed into this fantasy world while still also bringing in the fantasy metaphors. Like the season has the magic is drug addiction metaphor, which I think is hit and miss.
Yeah, I see what they were going for there. It's rough. It's rough, but it also does make sense that that character would be so messed up by what she's seen, by what's happened to her, that it that's a totally different thing that podcasts focusing on Buffy as a whole can get into. I think one of the things that I appreciated about the darkness of season six, but it also being like good, is that the Spike and Buffy relationship
Yeah, I
is
mean, I can't speak, I can't really speak to it myself from, from her perspective, but it feels very real.
It is, and the podcast I listen to at many times says it is just a failure to communicate on both their like they are both using each other at various times, and actually in a way healthier but still not great way. It reminds me of when I was in college, when I was this age, I had a friends with Ben. It was the only time that I've ever heard of friends with Benson, and it was like we both wanted to be in relationship, but we it with each other, never at the same time. Like the timing just never worked. And Buffy and Spike have that chemistry, have that attraction to each other, but they are also using each other, and so the timing never works because when one is ready to push past that and really give it a try, the other one isn't. And vice versa. And so I think that is what made it so interesting. Tough to watch, but interesting. Because if you have not watched it, Spike does not react well. So it's yeah, that's a real rough episode. I don't think I've rewatched that episode
Yeah,
since it was on.
that was definitely a surprising, even though I knew it was coming, it's still a shocking, surprising moment and an uncomfortable, like really the most uncomfortable moment in the entirety of season six. And I think I would probably say, in the entirety, well, I don't know. I think maybe like you referenced the body episode. I think those two in different ways have the most uncomfortable mo to watch moments. But I do think that they're relationship arc is interesting because, Spike starts out as a completely different character because especially the way that this show as a whole describes vampires as basically they are demons with the memories of a human. In season seven, Spike gets his soul back, and so it's like he's not, and then it's more like, you know, he's a human again, but he still has the memories of a demon and still has the personality of the demon. It's a whole weird thing if you really think of it within the how the show describes itself. Because in a way, he's still exactly the same character, other than, you know, he has a whole, you know, 6 or 7 episodes where he's crazy.
Well, who hasn't gone crazy in this universe? You know, it's funny. I wonder if, like, I watched the first season of Angel, and then after that I watched it sporadically, and I kind of wonder if, like, I always had trouble latching on to the character of Angel. Like, obviously, I wanted him and Buffy to, like, fall in love and be together and happy forever, because that's what she wanted. That storyline, it feels weird to say that storyline never did it for me. Obviously, it did. The first few seasons, that is, like, the go-to. it was from Buffy's point of view. Being immersed in that demon world, never, like, I always liked the interaction of the human world and the magical world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad no one ever threw a candle into my gut while I was doing that. But, like, now I'm thinking about it, and, like, it's Halloween season. I just rewatched Practical Magic. I will soon rewatch The Craft. Like, I liked these movies where totally normal, mundane world meets crazy, fantastical, magical world. And I kind of wonder if, like, for me, it was too much one or the other. Like Angel was, you know, like, I didn't want to sit there at 17 and have the philosophical debate of what it meant to be a vampire with a soul.
Yeah, Angel kind of went in a weird direction. It became more of a, like, a dark and broody procedural, but with demons and vampires instead of...
Yeah.
Yeah, Buffy, that started out as, like, a high school drama with demons and vampires.
Yeah, just didn't have the hook for me.
Although I do think...
Somebody should have did.
I am enjoying my season 5 rewatch, because I think that is really where they got the right tone, because that I think they bring in a lot more silliness and just craziness to it. When, you know, whenever Angel becomes the CEO of the LA branch of Wolfram and Hart, the, you know, the big demon corporation, and jumping into it, really kind of forget, like, seasons, I think 3 and 4 of Angel are a blurry haze for me. I know I watched them once, but I couldn't tell you a single thing that happens in those 2 seasons. And then jumping back into season 5, which I have a much clearer memory of season 5. I think partly because it's so recent, relatively, but also just because it's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get more into Angel season 5 whenever I get to the time bomb episode. So I'll have plenty to have time to talk about that. But I do love Spike as a character and his arc. He's just so... He's almost like that audience character for a lot of it, because he's the one that really he's like the fly in the ointment.
Mm-hmm. You know,
he's not always on anybody's side specifically. He's always kind of in the middle, and he's always just kind of stirring the pot most of the time. And that's what makes him so fun.
Oh, man. I need to see Spike and Matt Smith's character from House of the Dragon get drunk and swap war stories real bad. But that is for my own fan fiction head to fill in the blanks. I thought the arc on Spike was amazing. Amazingly done. For someone who was just originally brought in as, like, a foil to Angel, basically. the staying power that he had is phenomenal, and James Marsters is just genius in this.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that he hasn't really, that, you know, Spike seems to be like a blessing and a curse for him, because, you know, he does, it seems like he lives on the, you know, the con circuit these days, And he hasn't really, at least, you know, not in my circle. Maybe he is still a working actor, but he hasn't really had any other significant roles that I know of.
Role. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's good money. Why not, right?
Yeah.
And also, listeners, please note that Spike not only watched Passions, but he did watch Dawson's Creek. That is canon. Thank you. Thank you very much. he just gave us so many great moments on this show. And that's why I can forgive even the most awful things Spike has done. And not just, you know, oh, his past. Well, it's like, no, on screen. It's gonna get worse before it gets better, guys. But he did a really good job making that character understandable. Mm. Like, even if he's doing something that's despicable or sick, you're just like, you understand why. It may be a crazy thing to do, but
yeah, you understand how he went from A to B to C to D. Even though you absolutely don't agree with D, understand it because you saw A and B and C.
Yes, exactly.
And there's a certain sort of twisted logic, and there's always a sense that, you know, he gets a certain level of a pass because he is a vampire, and especially at this point because he's a vampire with a chip in his head. So it's like he's forced to do good, but then he gets a taste for it. And then, you know, he starts enjoying it, and then he takes it to the next level, getting his soul back. And then he becomes, you know, this other, you know, still very similar. He still has the exact same personality, but he has different motivations afterwards. And then, again, going into Angel Season 5, and then he discovers the whole Shanshu prophecy, where he can potentially become fully human again, and that's a whole different thing, which I'm not quite far enough in. I think I'm at this point I'm like 6 episodes into my Angel Season 5 rewatch, 6 or 7 Hey. Episodes. You know, he's a great character and just a fascinating character, and it's, you know, I don't know what else to say. I'm tongue tied.
Also gave us the New York flashbacks, so that our generation could have a punk phase too.
Yeah, where he fully leans into the Billy Idol look.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that's good for this loop. Unless there was anything else that you wanted to say before we wrap up.
I think for 2 seconds we did an excellent job.
All right. So once again, why don't you remind the listeners where else they can find you online?
Oh, well, I've done a whole bunch of these Movies by Minutes podcasts, including MASH Minute, and now I'm doing the Apocalypse Now Minute. So if you want to hear me have more really conflicted feelings on characters, those are good ones for it.
All right. And I am Bubba Weeds, and you can find me at FlightsTightsMovieNights.com. You can find me on Twitter, where I'm at Bubba Weeds. You can also find this show, It's Time to Rewind, on Anchor.fm, as well as anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. We also have a Facebook group, It's Time to Rewind, a time loop group, and you can join that and discuss episodes as they come out, as well as time loops in general. And that's all for now. So until next time, grrr.
Arg. I have to do the little hand thing too.
Where do you live?
The mummy hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of slug. The mummy hand.
Where do you live?
Essence of slug.
Where do you live?